Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Tiger fans, welcome to episode 53 of the official Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club podcast, bringing you all the latest news, updates, and buzz surrounding your mighty JSU Tigers. I am the Corey C. Be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast to be notified of every new episode. Apple users, rate and review the show, and everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Twitter. It all helps the cause, which is the I love, Jackson State University. Hosting the show today is Charles Bishop.
Welcome to another episode here of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. Thank you for joining us today. And I tell you what, we have an exciting show for you today in terms of having someone here from the Southwestern Athletic Conference, from the office, Senior Associate Commissioner, Dr. Jason Cable. Dr. Cable, welcome to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's great to be on and talk to the 1400 Club.
Well, and we'll get the elephant out of the room early. Of course, Jackson State podcast, and you, of course, you're an Alcorn legend. But I want to tell you congratulations on your doctoral degree from Jackson State University.
Yes. So I have degrees from both. So I'm alum of Alcorn and Jackson State.
No doubt about it. And we josh you, but I had to get that in there. Well, undoubtedly, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, they've made big news in not just from a national perspective in terms of the announcement of postponing the fall sports season and now into the spring sports season. And we wanted to bring you on and kind of talk a little bit about the decision making in terms of how you guys came about to move the fall sports season. And it was a novel concept in terms of postponing, but kind of walk us a little bit through kind of the decision-making process to get to that point.
Of course. So we started the process in the beginning of May. We put together a COVID-19 advisory group, and that group consisted of student athletes around the conference, coaches, athletic trainers, athletic directors, and senior women administrators. And we started to devise a plan to return to campus. And so going through that process, as we continued the process, we tried to answer a question, and that question was, can we play with what we know? And what that question really means is, can we bring student athletes back on campus, have them practice, and have them play in a safe environment? And so the consensus of the group, you know, going through the process, was that we could not play right now with what we know. And so the decision to postpone was evident, but when that decision was brought in front of our chancellors and presidents, they wanted to ensure, you know, that we had an opportunity to look forward to a season in which that we could plan out. And so we trashed the fall season and came up with a concept of playing in the spring. And so Ashley Robinson, who is the chair of our administrators group, actually him and Elise Gilbert, who's the senior associate athletic director at Jackson State, or she may have the title of assistant vice president. And Ashley, of course, is the vice president of intercollegiate athletics at Jackson State. They were instrumental in terms of putting that spring plan together and getting that plan in front of our administrators in the conference, and then the commissioner took that plan to our chancellors and presidents, and it was approved. And so the thought of playing in the spring is to give our student athletes, our fans, our parents, our stakeholders a season to look forward to. And we think if everything continues to trend opposite in terms of the way it's trending now as it relates to COVID-19, we may be able to pull a spring season off. But of course, if we get to a point where we're about to bring student athletes back on campus and we're trending in a negative direction as it relates to the pandemic, and then we would have to put a halt to that spring schedule, come back to the drawing board, and devise another plan.
And I know this is, we're so used to our athletes kind of reporting around this time, especially in regards to football. I guess, is there a plan in place as to the processes now? When do the fall athletes report to campus, especially everybody, of course, is always really tuned into when their football teams are reporting. But now that things have moved to the spring, is there, a schedule of when things happen now?
Yes, there's a schedule, but I must say it's tentative right now. But what I can share is there's an eight week acclimatization period from when our student athletes would report to campus until we start playing, right? And so that 8 week period right now should start around the first or second week of January.
Okay, sure thing. And you know, the vision that the SWAC office really put in place, it gathered national spotlight. So I want to say kudos to you all in terms of everything that you did. And I've seen articles where even conferences like the SEC were being encouraged, you know, to follow the SWAC's lead. What has been the feedback outside of the SWAC that you've seen?
Yeah, we've received positive feedback in terms of being one of the few conferences that has postponed fall sports and actually came up with a plan for the spring. And, you know, the commissioner is a great leader, and so he imparts upon us that the SWAC is second to none, right? So no longer will we be looked at as the conference that's last on the totem pole. And so he's pushing us to a level of peak popularity within its leadership. And so the decisions that we make are going to be on the national landscape. They're going to be of best practice. They're going to be of extreme thought. And in terms of our presidents and chancellors, the ideas that he takes to them, you know, they vet them out before we make them public. And so it's a collaborative effort, but I just want to reiterate, the SWAC is not a second tier conference. We're first tier, and we will continue to lead the nation in the decisions that we make.
No doubt about it. And I always say, Dr. Cable, the Southwestern Athletic Conference as a whole, you probably have one of the most engaged fan bases in the entire country. And I kind of joke in terms of kind of when the SWAC office talks, it's like E.F. Hutton, everybody listens. And to that extent, you know, there was some false information floating around regarding the cancellation of the season entirely, and it immediately got SWAC fans in a frenzy. But you guys, you did a great job of getting out in front of that. How important was it for the SWAC office and your leadership team, Dr. McClellan and everyone, to dispel those rumors?
It was very important. I mean, it was unfortunate that misinformation got out. But if you look at the things that could have occurred, you know, if presidents and people that we were working with at this point in terms of sponsorships, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of go into the timing and the way things are released. The livelihoods were at stake. You know, if you say that you're canceling fall sports, then immediately institutions have to look at, you know, how they're funding their program, furloughs and things of that nature. So, you know, that was a very sensitive message, and it was unfortunate that it got out. But I think Commissioner did a great job of dispelling that myth and putting out, you know, correct information from the conference office.
No doubt about it. You know, one of the things that a lot of HBCU fans have come to grow and love is the Celebration Bowl. And now with the SWAC postponing to the spring, the MEAC, they've postponed their fall schedule as well. Is there a possibility that we could see a Celebration Bowl in the spring?
Absolutely, absolutely. If the MEAC decides to bring back football in the spring, I think there is an opportunity for us to have a Spring Celebration Bowl. And so we've worked that scenario in our plan, and we're prepared for it.
You know, one of the questions that I know I've gotten quite a bit in terms of text, you know, and everything, of course, centers around football. But with football being played in the spring, you know, how does it affect other sports in terms of their scheduling? And does it allow for flexibility with the other winter sports, namely, you know, basketball?
Oh, absolutely. And so and traditionally basketball is played on Saturday and Monday. Football in the fall obviously is played on Saturday. And if soccer and volleyball play, they play in those corresponding days as well. So we would have to be strategic as a conference in terms of developing a conference schedule that would not put a tremendous burden on our membership. And so what that means is you may see a football game on a Friday or a Thursday, right? So we're still working through those scenarios, but we definitely want to make sure that our institutions have the resources and the capacity to host games and in some ways at the same time, right? So we want to make sure we want to make sure that we don't overload them, but they do understand that there is a possibility that with all those sports going on in the spring, there will be an adjustment.
No doubt about it. And again, I always marvel at the engagement of the Southwestern Athletic Conference fans, and that leads me to this question, of course. 42 out of the past 43 season, I believe the SWAC has led, you know, FCS in attendance. And I wanted to kind of ask Dr. Cable, was part of the decision to look at the spring, was that because of the SWAC fan base would likely be good consumers of spring ball?
Well, I think that's a benefit, but the decision was rooted in the health and welfare and safety of our student athletes. So that did not come to the forefront. But now that you mentioned it, I mean, that's one of the things that we took in account in terms of making plans for the spring. We think that we can leverage being essentially the only show in town and our fan base in terms of to increase our marketability. And so it's one of those subtopics that came up that we look to take advantage of. And we know our fan base are going to show up. I think this will be the first time since I was old enough to watch college football that I won't see any in the fall.
Undoubtedly. And of course, and I want to reiterate that all these decisions that have been made is completely and totally on where this virus is by the time we get to the spring. And I wanted to make sure that information continues to be at the forefront, as you said, the health and safety of not just student athletes, but students in general is of the utmost. So I wanted to make sure that was put out there. We're not talking in a silo and whatnot in terms of it's going to happen, but everything is planned on what happens with this virus as we get to the spring.
Yes, yes. And you mentioned our fan base. There's one quick fact that I like to mention. Our associate commissioner for media relations, Andrew Roberts, shared a tweet with me that had us ranked number 6 out of 30 some odd Division I institutions. I mean, I'm sorry, Division I conferences, rather, in terms of impressions. Right. And so,
yes.
So we outperformed the Big Ten and Big 12, which I think is remarkable. And so as we continue to grow our brand, I think you'll start seeing the SWAC more at the forefront of conversation.
And you know, that leads me to another question in terms of that is a tremendous statistic. And it does talk about the fan engagement of your fan base, Southwestern Athletic Conference fans. But just talk about how important it is in terms of leveraging your brand when you have a fan base that loves talking about their respective HBCU.
Oh, it's very important. And I think that we have a great product. And with the additions of Bethune-Cookman and FAMU, I think that the marketability of our conference is heightened. And so, like I said before, we're in a space of peak popularity, and we look to capitalize on engaging our fan and educating our fan base moving forward. We're an exciting time in our conference.
Yeah, and speaking of that exciting time, of course, Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M, they've moved in into the conference now. Just tremendous, I guess, excitement going into the upcoming seasons, if you will, for the Swag. This is an exciting time to be a fan of this conference. But just talk a little bit about Bethune-Cookman and Florida A&M in terms of what they bring to this conference as well.
Absolutely. First, I'm a little jealous. You know, I had an opportunity to play in the conference, and I wish they would have been in the conference at that time and get two trips to Florida as a student, right. as a student athlete. But I think, you know, they bring not only athletic programs that are very successful and they have rich traditions and history, but they bring academic programs as well. And so when you look at that holistically, a student graduating from high school can come to the SWAC conference and get premier athletics as well as a premier education. So that's what we look at in terms of a partner. And so bringing those partners in our conference, I think, strengthens us, right? And so it creates a level of competition that is bar none. And so at this point, the divisions, you know, there's no safe space. Whether you're in the East or the West, you're going to have to bring your A game every time out, right? And so that competition, I think, increases our ability to engage our fan base and increases our ability to grow the brand of the conference.
No doubt about it. I mean, tremendous in terms of bringing those teams in. And speaking of which, you know, I've heard Dr. McClellan use the term super conference. A lot of fans are kind of throwing that term around. What say you, Dr. Cable, in terms of the way the stakeholders now kind of take a look at the Southwestern Athletic Conference?
Exactly, because we have, in my opinion, we have the best 12 HBCU institutions in the nation. And so just as a student can come to the SWAC and get what they need, a corporation can come to the SWAC and partner with us and get what they need. Stakeholders can get involved and not only give to the SWAC, but receive as well. So those partnerships, as I stated earlier, I mean, we're in a space where, for lack of a better term, we're hot right now, right? And so
yeah. Right.
we will continue to attract those opportunities, and we want to capitalize on as many opportunities as we can while we're hot.
No doubt about it. And I wanted to ask this question in terms of a lot of, I guess, chatter we've seen now in terms of NFL hopefuls and with regards to this COVID-19 pandemic going on. We've seen some players around the country who have opted out, if you will, in terms of a plan when we do play ball. There are reports that there are the NFL right now doesn't have any plans to move their draft or whatever that may be. How do you think this may affect draft hopefuls that are in the Southwestern Athletic Conference who now will have this platform in the spring?
Well, I think that it would be individual. I know we have some student athletes that are draft hopefuls. And playing in the fall, of course, is ideal because you get an opportunity to prepare for the combine in the spring. But year to date, and I'm not saying that couldn't happen this year, we haven't had a high number of student athletes that have been invited to the combine. And so I think there may be some decisions that are made to forego the season from our student athletes. I mean, I think that's par for the course. But when you talk about an impact, I don't think it impacts us at the same level it does other conferences that may postpone their season.
No doubt about it. And as we close up this episode of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, was there anything, you know, in closing, Dr. Cable, that you wanted the Southwestern Athletic Conference fans, fans of Jackson State, to know in terms of what you guys are doing in the SWAC office?
Well, I'll just say continue to support, continue to pay attention, latch on. We're like a spaceship right now. You know, we're soaring at unbelievable heights, and get in while you can, because I think it may become more expensive as we continue to grow. So I think I think that now is the time for the SWAC. We're emerging, and we look forward to continue to serve our institutions and be attractive and be good stewards for our fans.
No doubt about it. And I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, for taking time out of your schedule. I really appreciate the fact that you guys in the SWAC office, you're accessible. The accessibility to be able to get out and get answers is tremendous for those of us who try to cover this conference.
Well, thank you. You know, we're just one phone call away, and thank you for having me on. And congratulations with your show, and I'll be sure to start tuning in.
No doubt about it. Appreciate you coming in.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that'll do it for episode 53 of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. Thank you to all of our listeners. And again, be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast. Apple users, rate and review the show. And everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Twitter. I can't stress the importance of this enough. We're looking to do some big things with this platform to aid the athletics department, and it all starts with you. Downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show. And tell every Tiger that you know. We're on all podcast outlets. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, and so on. And we'll be posting each episode on our Facebook and Twitter pages. As always, thank you for your support. Go Tigers! Hashtag #ZILove.
Muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.